Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Danielle Radoichin, and welcome to My Big Idea, the weekly podcast from ASOS. Each week, we speak to a young woman who has started her own enterprise in order to glean a few inspiring bits of career advice. And today, I'm talking to Emma Zentner, owner of Boom Nails and Boom Things. Launched in 2011 and 2014 respectively, each company offers bespoke decorative design for events, mobile phone covers and more. So, just how did she do it? Here's Emma's big idea. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Welcome to My Big Idea.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
We're just talking about your amazing nails. What's the what do you call that design that you've got going on there?
This design is in a hurry. It's the design that I do when I don't have time to do my nails properly.
It reminds me of kind of, it's like a bit Keith Haring.
Yeah, it's kind of, I used to only really use nail art pens to do designs on my nails, which are super intricate, but then I clocked onto the fact that you can just use the normal nail polishes and it's a lot quicker.
So how long did that take?
From taking my nail polish off to them being finished, like less than an hour, which is pretty on the good end for me.
Yeah,
it can take a long
but then,
time.
But don't you have to wait for ages for them to dry as well?
No, it's the magic top coat, Sesh Feet.
Sesh
Feet. Yeah, it's the one.
All I ever hear about is Sesh Feet.
Trust me.
Oh my God.
It's important.
All right. So your nails are a part of what you do for work?
They are, yeah. Kind of by accident, but yeah.
Yeah, talk us through what happened. So your company's called, that part of the company is called Boom Nails.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
The company or the name?
Let's start with the name.
It was just an old nickname, Emma Boom. Like there was like four Emmas when I was about 15 in our friendship group, and I used to say Boom a lot, so that was it. But naming something, I don't know. The only reason why I ended up naming the nail thing was because I wanted to put pictures of stuff I'd done online, and you have to obviously have a URL, and it was a bit of a, I don't know, it's a weird thing. Like, I kind of just couldn't call it, like, hi, I'm Emma, I do nails. So the name started. But it kind of, like, ended up working well because it means that when I do events or bigger projects, I can kind of have, you know, a bunch of girls all working under the same umbrella of my company, which is nice.
So you were at uni doing graphic design?
Yeah, exactly.
And then how did that segue into the nail thing?
It was just a hobby. I saw it about... There was like some, like WAR had just opened. I saw nail art online suddenly and kind of was seeking it out. And I just thought, oh, that looks so cool. And I didn't even know what a nail art pen was. And I just guessed that it was called that and Googled it. And
did you know about Sesh Feet back then?
No. No, I was a full on rookie. I one nail pen arrived. I started doing my flatmate's nails, and then it got around uni. I'd go into uni, and people would be like, don't you do nails? Can you do mine? I'd be like, yeah. Like, at the time, I was, you know, found it really fun, so I was just doing it for them. And then I started getting offered work. So I started taking appointments in an amazing shop that sells a lot of independent designers and vintage stuff in Bristol called Shop Dutty, which is now called That Thing. And it was kind of a bridge into taking it seriously because I was taking appointments, but it was also very casual. I was at uni, it was a Saturday job, it wasn't like a full-time thing. But and then when I moved back to London after I graduated, I started getting work. And that.
Did you always think you'd go into business for yourself?
No, it was the one thing that I was sure I wouldn't do. I grew up with both of my parents being freelance, and when I went to uni, the only thing I was sure of is that I didn't want to be freelance.
So what gave you the confidence to go ahead and launch?
It didn't ever feel like launching. It never felt like it was something that I was it was not a definitive decision. It was like, because I was getting an introduction to work while I was still at uni. I was doing tutorials for Motel, and I had my first big event, which was for River Island, while I was still at uni. Like, those things were happening before I had to make a decision about my career. So by the time I graduated, it was a thing that was giving me most money, or any money. So I just kind of swam with it, basically, in the direction it was. And it's just mad how jobs lead to jobs. And if you do a good job, and then you get recommended. And then it was a kind of accidental career choice.
My space, because it did all happen at a time when this nail art explosion sort of happened.
It was
in
mad.
London. There's Wah. Yeah. Sophie Robson, yeah. Who I know I've spoken to, doing nails yourself. How did you find your own little niche in that group?
I just think that there's so much room to have different styles, and kind of, I guess it's a bit like drawing a picture, you know? There is room for all the art that people want to do, because, like, not to call it art in a kind of, I don't know.
What you mean? You don't want to sound pretentious.
Yeah, yeah. Not in a pretentious way, but just like, if you were relating it to a picture, you know, there's so many different things that styles or ways in which someone can draw, that the same applies to a nail, you know? So, like, I've personally have always loved like drawing small things. I always did in art class, you know, like I like patterns and small intricate things. I was doing that stuff all through uni, so I guess I love like thin lines, and I love like little patterns, and other people do amazing things that are just different, and it's all kind of, there's room for it all, because everyone's got a different style. And like, if someone wants amazing 3D mad like sculpted nails, they'll go to I can't even remember a particular person, but you know, there'll be people who do that. And I think I just think there's so many people that want it, that there's just enough room for everyone doing it, really, which is nice.
And it's quite interesting what you've done, because it's kind of a multifaceted company that you set up. I'll come around to Boom Things in a minute, but you've got your nail art that you do as a sort of nail artist, and then the events. So why don't you talk about the events a bit, explain what they are and what you do at them.
I guess it's just kind of like, you know, appointments are a very kind of luxurious amount of time that you've got with somebody to really spend time and do, you know, every wish that they've got under the sun. And events, it's slightly different, because there's more time pressure. Like, you're there to, you know, give a little treat to somebody, essentially. And whether it's like, you know, a 15-minute mani, or whether they want to really want you to go to town on someone and like really spend a bit more time on them. Like, it's just a different environment, because you're kind of on a schedule, and it's, you know, you've often got, you know, 2, 3, 4 of you all doing the same thing. And yeah, it just takes a bit more organisation. But I guess that's something that I didn't really think that I had in me, maybe, before I went into this. But that's kind of a weirdly part of it I really enjoy. Like, I was, when I've gone off on jobs like around the UK doing like nail art in various, you know, it, like even organising the itinerary, like that's quite a mad like like head spin to have to like work out. But I kind of enjoy that part of it quite a lot. Yeah.
You've got loads of clients. I was just having a look at your website, and all the people you've worked with, it's like a really long list, really impressive. And you mentioned River Island already. How do you go about forming those relationships, and how do you meet people to work with them?
How? I guess I've always been lucky and surprised that a lot of it has fallen into my lap. I think one amazing thing about doing something so visual as a job is that your portfolio is there up online for people to see. And, you know, it's very, very easy to see what I do and how I do it. And if it's the kind of thing that's someone else's cup of tea, and if it's not, they won't email me. So it's kind of like, I'm in a fortunate position that by the point of someone emailing me about a job, they've probably already realised that they want to use me, or they might want to use me at least. And aside from that, I mean, I've met so many people. It's weird, because when you do someone's nails, you've got an amount of time with them that is, you know, it's not insignificant. And obviously, you know, part of the whole service industry is reading people. And don't get me wrong, there's people who don't want to talk, or like they're on their phone, and that's like absolutely fine. But so many people are so interested in kind of speaking and working and finding out how I'm doing what I'm doing, and it inevitably leads to conversation. And the amount of relationships that have got formed through even just like a 20-30 minute manicure essentially is crazy, because like that person will, you know, remember something about it and you know, possibly recommend me, possibly use me like 2-3 years down the line. So yeah, I guess I like a lot of people, and if I get on with somebody, then that's quite a mutual nice thing that is remembered. Maybe.
What's your favourite brand that you've worked with?
That's a good question. I mean, in terms of like doing a job for them, or I mean, the stuff for the Tate was amazing.
Would you call that
a brand? I don't know.
I would call the Tate a brand.
Yeah. So yeah, for the Tate Modern, I mean, that was just, it was quite early on that I did it, and it was just...
Well, how did it come about?
I just got an email. I got an email from a guy who organises, he worked for the Tate Collective, which is, as far as I could tell, an organisation. Well, he described the event as they were trying to get young people into art. So they were... they were organising this event around the Kusama exhibition, Yayoi Kusama, who's an amazing Japanese artist, and there was a huge exhibition of her work in that was opening the Tate Modern. So they had, they wanted nails.
She's the polka dot.
She's the
lady.
Polka dot lady, yeah. The pumpkin lady. Yeah, yeah, but weirdly, that's like, yeah, like her paintings are so amazing that that's what I kind of love, like translating onto nails. But so yeah, I went. They wanted to basically offer Kusama nails at this event, and they also had DJs. They had workshops where you could make stuff. It was like it wasn't just me. There was like loads of different stuff. So you know, I went around the exhibition and picked out paintings that I thought would work well on nails, and designed this menu. And it was amazing to be involved with. And also, it was my introduction to her, because I'd never heard of her before. And she has been. She's, you know, one of my absolute favourite artists.
Did you meet her?
Oh, God, no. No. But after the Tate job, the gallery, Victoria Miro, that represent her, they actually got me into their offices before they had a show of hers opening, and I painted all the girls in the gallery's nails, and all the people that work on her studio were there and saw them and said they were good. So
that's great.
I was happy with that.
So then in 2014, you launched Boom Things.
Yes.
Tell me how that came about.
So I guess with like a graphic design background, and my intention at uni, aside from doing design work or illustration work possibly, was to create products. I always wanted to put designs on products, and nails was very much like everything else got put on the back burner after I graduated, because it was just taking up all of my time and all of my, you know, I was getting a lot of work and it was great. And then you know, nails is great, but it was never my end game. There was always a massive kind of design interest, which I got to the point where I was like, I need to do something about it. And I think with my nails, you know, there's certain stuff which is very generic on nails, but there's certain stuff, you know, there's a lot of designs that I create myself. And all the designs that I put on nails, or some of them rather, I thought that could work well. That could work well on, you know, a cushion or a phone case or something. So I just kind of very, very slowly have been opening that door to basically creating products. And it's a slow road, because, you know, I'm trying to do nails still. You know, I still love doing that and I don't want to close the door on that. But I'm trying to do these products and I'm also doing freelance work. So it's kind of, you know, a slow journey, but it's something that I've got so much pleasure out of, because, you know, essentially nails are disposable. Yeah, they won't last, you know, so, and they take a long time. You can't just like click print and do 100, 1,000. So to be able to create a product that you don't have to sit there and paint and that people can enjoy that I've done is like massively satisfying. So that's something I'd love to do more of in the future, yeah.
Yeah, and you've been doing these phone cases, which are on ASOS.
I have, yeah.
Was that your idea?
Which, the phone cases?
Yeah, did they come?
They did come to me, yeah, which was lovely. Yeah, it's, I'm always kind of in, intrigued as to how people come across, like, stuff on the internet and how people even know what I do exists. But I guess that is one of the joys of the internet, is that you could just stumble across stuff.
And I just mentioned ASOS, but how do you go about securing other outlets or
people to sell your stuff for you?
Yeah, that's a massive learning curve for me. It's not my...
How do you actually do that?
Okay, well, I've had a bit of a weird... Okay, so the other stockist that I've had, the big one, is Urban Outfitters, right? But the thing is that our relationship started way, way back, like 5 years ago, when they contacted me to create a nail product together. So I've had a relationship with them for years, and I've done nail events at their press days, at parties. So it was not conventional, you know. I had a foot in the door, which was massively amazing for me, because, you know, that business mind is not necessarily my strength. So, you know, before I was even making phone cases, I kind of just said to the people who I was making a nail product with, can I come in and show you? And you know, thankfully they said yes, and then they stocked them, and it was amazing. But yeah, like, the conventional kind of way is harder, and you've got a lot more doors closed, and that's something that, like, I have to learn.
So have you ever pitched to a stockist, or have, in your experience, have they always come to you?
The shop in Bristol that I used to paint nails at, they stock my products, and I asked, we talked about it, we're friends, so it's kind of different as well, like, we're mates. But I guess they have come to me, but there are also places that I've attempted to contact that haven't got back to me. So, you know, like, it's not like it's all gone swimmingly.
Yeah. And how do you cope when you get rejected?
I don't have time to think about it. It's just like, you just have to try on. But that's the bad thing, is because really when you get rejected, you need to be emailing, you know, like 100 people a week, or, you know, maybe not, because you need to actually think about which shops your product works in. But ultimately, like, if I email a few people, it's gone then to the bottom of my list again. So then I've my brain's just doing so many other things that I probably won't get around to doing anything else about it for another month. So it's a juggling act that I definitely haven't got down yet.
How are you hoping this is all going to evolve in the next few years? Have you got plans?
Yeah, I'd love to expand products range, really. That is...
What kind of products are you hoping to go into?
Oh, so many. I want homeware, stationery, wallpaper, collaborations with people who do cool stuff.
Who would you like to collaborate with that you haven't yet? Who's the dream?
Oh, the dream.
Yeah, the dream.
Like Liberty, something like that. Like,
what would you like to Nike do for Liberty? Cool.
Gosh, like a range of wallpapers. That would be amazing, you know? Like, I think I'd just love to have to be at a level where I can experiment more with different media and different kind of products like that, because at the moment I'm kind of like running around trying to make everything work, but actually if I got to the point where, you know, I had other people that were helping me make it work, then it would, yeah, I feel like it would give me more space to actually be able to create stuff, which is my favorite bit.
And I know that you have your own little office space that you rent out.
Yeah, just a little studio. Yeah,
a studio in Dalston. How important do you think that is to people who work for themselves, to have their own working space?
For me, it was like the best thing I ever did. I worked from home for 2 years without giving a studio or an office space a second thought. And then my friend Anna, who's an amazing set designer, just throw that in, had this space in Dalston, and it's very non-studio-y. It's a big space, and there is desks in it, but it's a very makey studio. It's not like a pristine kind of desk space that feels like stiff. It's just, and it's got just a bunch of cool freelancers in it that do cool stuff. And even that, like, I think for me, just the getting up out of bed and going somewhere, getting some air, like, don't get me wrong, I get into habits where I don't go for ages and then I think, oh God, I need to go to the studio. But having it has been really important, I think.
What about all the kind of, you know, financial stuff, managing your finances, figuring out keeping an eye on the money that's coming in, budgets?
Yeah.
Do you do all that for yourself?
Yeah.
You don't have an accountant or...
No, I don't have an accountant. I do it all myself. It's weird. Like, I think it's all I've ever known, being freelance. So, you know, I'm used to someone not paying me for six, potentially 6 months. And I think, you know, I can earn a lot of money in one day or no money for 2 weeks. And I've just learned that when I get money, you know, it could have to last me. So, but then at the same time, I have a very kind of it's only money attitude, which I think for me, if I spend money, I'm more likely to be motivated to make more. So, you know, I went to New York for a month last year in my overdraft. That was silly. But the day I landed, I got a job that was paid for New York. So it, I do feel like sometimes you have to just be like, you know, I'm just going to do stuff. And then it's kind of, yeah, it is, I find it to be motivation to make more.
Spend money to make money. I like it. Yeah. Okay. And then in terms of what do you read? Do you like read publications to stay up to date with what's going on? Do you follow social media accounts?
I love reading.
What
but,
do you read?
I've started reading books in the past year, and it's like the most... You know, it's so simple. It's such an obvious thing. I used to read so much when I was younger, and then there was just this like period of about 12 years where I just didn't. It wasn't on my radar. And like, there's a Japanese author called Murakami, and I've basically just been reading his books for about a year. And he's great. And I feel like, you know, social media is great. I have to do it for work. It's useful. It's insightful. You can learn stuff. But I also do feel like there is a massive.
Who do you follow on social?
Oh God!
Who's your favourite follow? Or look, if you look at your phone now, who's the most like? Ooh. If you open Instagram, who's the first thing that comes up?
Okay, wait. That's like
I
a
like
tricky
that
question.
Idea though that the books, the reading like Murakami and literature is a nice balance to all the craziness of what being a freelancer.
Yeah,
and then who is it?
Some of my friends' accounts probably. There's a guy called Luke who takes amazing pictures. I love photography. I love photographs.
Luke, what's the brand? What's the account?
His account's called Be The Gun.
So Be The Gun's a good one. And who do you look at for like... Because I'm just thinking, what happens if it... Because at the moment, there's like a trend for maximalist. You call it maximalism. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, like really decorative, sort of slightly going almost back to the 80s, like really colourful, full on. Like what if people go back to being minimalist again and there's no need or desire for like nail art or decoration?
Yeah,
then what would you do?
I guess it's just taste, isn't it? And there's a lot of people that have that taste already. And I mean, I guess with like for me, I was always surprised by how consistently people wanted nail art. Even years in, even now, you know, I always thought, when is this going to die down? Like, and I do think that with something like that, it was like a floodgate that got opened, and essentially it will move around within nail art, but it's not going anywhere. Like, it's not, like people still want it. So I think, I think there's always space for kind of like decluttering. And I think that's a really important thing. And like with the reading, I feel like that is a social media for me can be stressful. I feel like all the consumption of all the images, it can just make me anxious and not, and I just want to switch off. So the idea of not like consciously taking a step back from it, you know, when I'm with my friends, my phone's face down on the table. Like I can't deal with trying to do that like on your phone with people thing. It's just not, then you're doing everything half-assed, you know, and I'd rather do something properly. But I think that it's really important to take time out for your own brain from all that.
Yeah, brain declutter. Yeah. I like that. All right, well, thanks very much, Emma.
Thanks.
Been really fun having
thanks
you on
for
the podcast.
Me. See ya.
That was Emma Zentner of Boom Nails. I'm Danielle Radoichin. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check out previous episodes of My Big Idea on your favourite podcast app. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.